Please open your Bibles, Mark 16, 2 through 5. That's what I'm going to read. Mark 16, 2 through 5. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were very alarmed.
As you look at Mark 16, verses 1 through 5, you find some interesting material that Micah just read. And then as you come to verse 6, you have these words. "Be not amazed. He is risen." Those three words have literally changed the course of the world's history. Jesus lived a long time ago, and people throughout the world still know the Lord's name. Today, of course, is a day, a time when a lot of people have their attention turned to Jesus and his resurrection. And as I think about today and the attention that people have turned towards the Lord, I'm persuaded that many know the name Jesus, but I'm not persuaded that they necessarily know who the Lord is. So for a time this morning, we want to give some attention, concentrate on some material as far as who the Jesus of the Bible really is. If you've picked up an outline, you know that most of our material is going to be based on the opening chapter of John. So if you followed along for the scripture reading, I'd encourage you to turn over to the first chapter of John. In John chapter 1, John refers to the beginning. Now that reminds us a little bit of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." John 1:1 also refers to the beginning, but the beginning in John 1:1 is not the same as the beginning in Genesis 1, verse 1. Genesis 1:1 takes us to the beginning or the start of creation. But in John 1:1, we have a time prior to the creation of all things. John tells us, that there was a time when the earth and the universe did not exist. There was a time, there was a period when there were no angels, there were no planets. The only thing that existed in the beginning of John 1:1 was God. Sometimes people, especially children, ask where God came from. Well, the Bible affirms that God has always been. There is no beginning point for God. There is no ending point for God. God simply exists. This is also true for the one that we refer to as Jesus. He is without beginning. He is without end. In John 1, starting with verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." That's a reference to Christ. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus was the Word. He was with God, and he was God. In verse 14, the Bible says, "This Word," or Jesus, "became flesh." Now, as we look at our culture and other cultures, there have been a lot of stories written where a man becomes a God. But when we look at the Bible, John 1, verses 1 and 2, it's reversed. God becomes man. It was God in the flesh that went to the cross. It was God in the flesh that was raised on the third day. In Revelation 1, verse 8, the Bible refers to Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega. Now that's important. In the Greek alphabet, Alpha is the first letter, Omega is the last letter. If we put it into English, we would say that Jesus is A to Z. He's always existed, and he's always been very active in the world. Sometimes, as I listen to people speak, I get the impression that they have a very limited view of Jesus. Their view seems to be, well, Jesus, he sort of came out of somewhere. As a little baby, he lived on the earth until maybe his mid-30s. He died on the cross. He was raised up on the third day. He ascended back into heaven, and that's pretty much the end of the story. Well, those facts are true, but they do not tell the full story. If you turn to John 1, let's see what's said in verse 3. "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made." John affirms that no matter what we see, no matter what we can imagine, every single item has been made through Jesus Christ. Our Son came into existence by the power of Christ. Adam and Eve, the first two people, came into existence. They were created through Jesus Christ. Our atmosphere, every single star exists because of the Lord. Today we exist because of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's true that Jesus was raised from the dead more than 2,000 years ago. But John 1:3 says the Jesus that was raised from the dead was God in the flesh, and he is also our creator. If Jesus' activities were limited to what's been said so far, he would be a magnificent being. But the Bible says concerning Jesus much, much more. Verse 4 of John 1. in him, that's in Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. As we look at life and people, we find that there are some individuals in life who seem to exist, but not really live. In other words, there are some people, as we look at them in life, they have a body. And that body functions, maybe a little bit better for some others than various folks. But they have a body that functions, but they really don't seem to have much of a life. They really exist more than they live. Their life, it maybe to them, maybe to others, does not seem to be that meaningful. Sometimes people think, well, you know, I just exist because my life is just the same every day. I mean, I just know how predictable it is, and I just don't really seem to live. I just exist. A common trait of mankind is wanting life. Most people do not just want to exist, they want to have life. Our society often refers to this as having quality of life. People want a life which is fulfilling. They want a life which is meaningful. And people try to do this in various ways. One of the strangest ways that I have ever seen this done was from a woman a few years ago. She found fulfillment through QVC. Her life, for her, meaningful life was, you know, sitting there in front of the shopping network, watching that program for hours on end and ordering stuff. I mean, if she didn't get to order several things a day, you know, life didn't mean anything. And she got to a point where she filled up her house with boxes, didn't even open some of the boxes, didn't return them. I mean, it was just, I need to see the UPS man. That was her definition of life. Others look for life in a bottle, alcohol. Others look for life as far as meaningful existence through drugs. Some try to find it through a job. Other people think, well, we can have quality of life if I can just find a mate. Or let me have a baby, let me have a child, and I'm going to have quality of life. Other people think, well, if we can travel throughout the U.S. or travel throughout the world, or we can do this or that, we can seek pleasure, we can have life. Well, a lot of those things have been tried. And people have found that those things really do not offer a meaningful life. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that life comes from Jesus Christ. Life, if you look at the verse, is in Christ, and that's important. The Bible does not say that life is from Christ. John did not say that life is through Christ. John did not say that life is by Christ. The thought is specifically expressed in Greek and English as life is in Christ. Now that should tell us, it's trying to tell us, that we may have what we think is life. We may have what we think is a meaningful life, but if we do not have a life that is joined with Jesus Christ, we are missing out on the most important thing. Our life lacks the most critical component. Stated another way, we cannot have the rich life, we cannot have the full life, we cannot have the abundant life that Jesus spoke of in John 10:10 unless we are connected to him. And as we look at our life, we may be weak, we may be sick, we may be poor, we may be advanced in age, we may have a lot of things that in our life, they do not look very favorable as far as our circumstance. But if our life is rooted and grounded, if it is connected to Jesus Christ, we have it all. That's what John is affirming. Millions of people go throughout life throughout the entire world. Scores of people will turn the world upside down to make a life for themselves. How many times have we heard someone say, I would be happy if, and we can just fill in the blank. Or another person would say, if only this could happen, if only we could get this particular thing, then we would be satisfied. I'd like to suggest this morning that however people would fill in the blank, if they got that thing or if they received those things, they would not truly be satisfied. Those statements show that people do not really understand what life is all about. Think about those who would say, if we could only pay off this debt, we have this huge bill, and if we could only pay off this one obligation, then we would be satisfied. Is that really true? Well, for most people, they may have a big debt. It may be a burden, but if they could satisfy that obligation, chances are that there's going to be some other bill that comes up in their life, and they would not have really found the ultimate satisfaction. Others think, well, I'd be satisfied if only I can get a car. Some of us in this room have probably had that thought in the younger years. If only I can get an automobile. Or maybe we had one and we thought, if only we could get a second car, if only we could get our first house, or if we could get a better vehicle, all those things. But what happens when that car is either wrecked, it no longer functions, or we're, you know, no longer in a situation where we are able to drive it? There is nothing in life that offers true satisfaction. We need to go outside this life to Jesus Christ. And as we look at our world, we have a world full of people who are seeking fulfillment in every place but one, and that is life in Christ. Life is not only in the Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 4, that it is where the Lord is where light comes from. In some respects, our world is very interested in light, that is, insight and understanding. No matter where we look, we find that in today's society there is a great emphasis on knowledge and education. Learn more to get a better job. Learn more because of all the things that are out there. If there has ever been a time in the history of the world as far as an information age, it's right now. We live in an information age. I mean, our world is oozing with knowledge. As I was thinking about this point this last week, I saw a graphic, believe it or not, that broke down how many calories are in a 6-ounce chocolate Easter bunny. I thought, wow, I mean, the knowledge that we have in society, it is just all over the board. And it not only stated the fact that there are about 1,000 calories, in case you're wondering, in a 6-ounce Easter bunny, it actually took that bunny and it divided it into 5 separate sections and said, if you eat the ears, here's how many calories you're going to have. And if you eat the legs, it's going to be this many calories. I mean, information has never been as plentiful as it is now. A number of years ago when the internet was becoming popular, I listened to a fella who was in his retirement years, and he said, well, I just love the internet. It takes me to this place, and I can lead to this place, and it takes me somewhere else. There's almost no end to the things that I can learn. People could learn 1,000 new things a day very easily. They could do that for 100 years, day after day, and never run out of things to learn. I mean, the knowledge currently available is absolutely endless. But you know, suppose that we could learn all that knowledge, everything that exists in our world, if at the end of our life we are not in a position where we understand the light that comes through Christ and His Word, all that knowledge that we gain is useless. Doesn't matter how many calories are in the Easter bunny or whatever else we learn. The light that is through Christ is one of the essential keys to getting along through life. And it will help us if we'll turn to that word and use it. Young parents often have questions about raising adults. Where are they going to go? Well, some would say, let's get out, the library book, or let's go to the internet. God's word has the light to deal with those issues. Many want relationship advice, and they'll turn into talk radio or, again, fire up the internet or look in some other place. The information is sought in a lot of sources except the right one, the scriptures. People want to know how to solve problems at work and school. Well, where should they go? The Bible has the answers. People want information on how to heal marriages, how to win back a wayward child, how to overcome sin. There's never going to be a better source on these subjects than the Word of God. The teachings of Christ, the Word of the Lord gave the apostles, given through the apostles, are light. And it helps us deal with the various issues of life. It would be great if, as we look at the world, all people would turn to the light and find the life that is offered through Christ. But the Bible says that most of the world is not willing to do that. In John 3:19, a couple chapters later, the Bible says the light came into the world. It's there, it still exists, and it's shining, present tense. But men loved the darkness, and that's still true. God has offered the light through Christ, but there are a lot of people that say, well, that's just not the way that we want to go. It is nice to have this time of year when there are many people in the world who are thinking about Jesus and the resurrection. And we certainly don't want to detract from that. But at the same time, we want to emphasize that one day of the year is not enough for the Lord. If we think about the Lord, who He is, His resurrection, all those things this weekend, but we head off into the darkness as we start another week, and that's the way that we start living, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, until another year rolls around, we've not gained anything. We need to seek the light and the life available through Christ and live that way every single day. If that's our choice, we're not going to be disappointed. Jesus was raised from the dead. People are aware of that. They're mindful of that today. But the resurrection is not going to be limited to Him. In John 5:28 and 29, Jesus said, "The hour cometh in which all they that are in the tombs, the good and the bad, the evil and the righteous, they're going to hear His voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. At the end of time, each one who has ever lived will be raised from the dead." If we have lived for very long, we know some people who are no longer on the earth. Some of us here may have had in the past an enemy, and that enemy has died. John 5:28 and 29 affirms that enemy is one day going to be raised from the dead. We're going to see that enemy at some future time. Many of us have followed the news story locally about the 9-year-old child that was recently killed in our area. The resurrection of Christ that people are mindful of this morning says that that boy is going to live again for eternity. He's not gone. His eternal spirit is just waiting for the future resurrection. If we've had a loved one leave this life, we will see that person sometime in the future. The grave could not keep Jesus, and it's not going to keep anyone else. At the end of time, the Bible says that the Lord is going to descend with a shout, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. That same passage says the dead in Christ will rise first. All the others will also be raised up, John 5, 28 and 29. Jesus' resurrection is a fascinating, it is a phenomenal event. But it should also remind us that a day is coming where if we leave this earth before the Lord comes, we also will one day be raised. And if we have sought a life that is based on the light of God's word, we will share in that glory. But if we have looked at the light and said, that's not really the way that I want to live. I want to follow the darkness because there are some things over there that appeal to me. John chapter 3, verse 19, we're going to be lost. The Lord is someone who wants us to be saved. John 1, 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and that is present tense. When Jesus came into the world, he started to shine. The truth through his word started to shine, and that shining is still done today. God offers us the light that we need to make the right decisions in life and to live for him. But we need to make the deciding vote. Have we become one of his children? We know that we can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11, 6. It is impossible to please God without faith. We've got to believe in Jesus. We've got to believe in his word. We've got to say to the darkness, John 3, verse 19, that's the wrong way to live. We want to come to the light that we find in Christ and in the gospel. And we are going to confess that, as people did in New Testament times. 1 Timothy 6, 12, Acts 8, verses 36 through 38. Finally, there has to be a way to extract us, to pull us, to remove us from that darkness. There has to be something that breaks the power, that breaks the hold that darkness has on us. And the Bible says that that final act is accomplished through baptism. In Galatians 3:27, the Bible says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. That's what breaks the bondage of darkness. Belief is essential. Repentance is necessary. Confession is required. But the Bible says that that last step is the thing that brings us out of the kingdom of Satan, translates us into the kingdom of light. Colossians 1, verse 13. This morning, where are we? Have we looked at the light of God's word and in the past said, no, that's not really the way that I want to live? Think about the resurrection of Jesus. He's no longer in the grave. And the time is coming where if we leave this life, as we said before, the Lord returns, we also will be raised up. There's going to come a judgment. And that's going to determine where we spend eternity. How have we responded to the light and the life that's available through Christ? Have we said we want to become a Christian? We have become a Christian and we're trying to live our best in light of the information that we have in the scriptures. If that's not been our choice, the light of life, Jesus, still offers us the opportunity to be one of his people. And this morning we hope that if you've not yet become a Christian, you'll take advantage of that opportunity. Let us help baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you have come to the light and you've headed off into the path of darkness, and we can help turn your life back to the light, we also let us know about that need as we stand and sing the selected song.
Hear his words of tender pleading, hear his gracious come to me. He is calling, softly calling, on thine ear his voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling, come to me and be at rest. He has died for thy transgression. If thou wilt, thou canst be free. Soul, he waits for thy confession. Savior, I will go to thee. He is calling, softly calling, on thine ear his voice is falling. He is calling, softly calling, come to me and be at rest. not waiter till the morrow. Let thy loving answer be, Savior, in my joy or sorrow, I will ever go to thee. He is calling, softly calling on thine ear. His voice is falling, he is calling, softly calling, come to me and be at rest.
Be seated, please.